The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
What is going on, guys? You are listening to the High Spot Podcast. I am Jeff Martin, alongside my tag team partner, the trendsetter, Brian Perga. You can follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast and listen to the show where all podcasts are available on Spreaker, on Apple Podcasts. Again, wherever podcasts are available, click and subscribe and like the YouTube channel as well, High Spot Podcast, where you can catch all our video content. Trendsetter, we are on the road to WrestleMania.
That never gets old.
The only thing that could mess it up is this coronavirus. Now, we know it is a very serious virus, and you know we're not making light of it, but man, is this going to, you know, ruin a lot of people's travel plans for WrestleMania weekend if for some reason this whole thing gets canceled?
Well, you know, we talk about this type of time of being a wrestling fan in WrestleMania, right? You talk about historical moments and things that could or could not happen, right? Talk about something historic that could happen. The first time WrestleMania could be canceled just because of something like this happening. It's definitely a scary moment in terms of what a lot of people are thinking. A lot of people, you know, I feel have some misguided information too. But it's a scary thing because you're unsure, you're unaware, especially when you go to a large setting like that, which a lot of people from all over the world go to. It is kind of scary, you're right. But, you know, with something like that, you kind of have to just wait and see what's going to happen. At the same time, too, you're right. We're on the road to WrestleMania, and you know we say that to nauseam to a certain degree around this time of the season. But you know it's true. We're getting closer and closer now. So storylines or things that WWE kind of want to start kind of finishing, polishing up as they get into the road in Tampa Bay, Florida. You know, it's that we're down to the nitty gritty, man. Now there's no more fooling around. If you're going to be committed to something, you're going to do it, and not this is the time to do it right now as the card starts finalizing itself.
Yeah. So by the time you listen to the show, we're going to go with the mindset that WrestleMania is a go. Although there should be some decision this week on if exactly they're going to proceed with WrestleMania plans. You see, the people are shutting down basketball games, college basketball games in Italy. They're shutting down the whole country. There's no soccer played, and if there it is played in front of no fans, and you know, well, could WrestleMania still go on with no fans? That's a possibility as well. So there's so much heading into this week. So whether in fact WrestleMania gets canceled, we hope not, but by the time you hear this, it just might be. But we got a great show for you. We're gonna stay positive here on the High Spot Podcast because that's what we do. We got Jack Farmer from AfterBuzz TV. He is the AEW Dynamite post show host alongside a tremendous panel. He also does some Monday Night Raw, and he's been doing some Ruthless Aggression stuff. So he joins on the show, and Chad Minnis from Standalone Pro Wrestling will join us, talk about the events they've got planned for Tampa, no holds barred for ICW. And you know, he'll talk about what would happen if they have to cancel due to the coronavirus, and he'll talk about also Standalone events happening early on in March for his promotions, because he has a lot. So a lot to get into. And, you know, Trendsetter, let's get right into it. Let's talk to Jack Farmer, because we talk about AEW, we talk about WrestleMania, we talk about so many things, but, of course, we have to open it up with the coronavirus. Could it shut down WrestleMania? So we talk about so many things. Let's get it started. Here is Jack Farmer from AfterBuzz TV on the High Spot Podcast. All right, Trendsetter, joining us now is Jack Farmer from AfterBuzz TV. He is the host of Dynamite After Show and also does Raw panels. He does so many things. Even a DJ. We'll get to talk about that as well. Jack, what is going on? How are you doing, man? How is the LA life?
Man, I am a solid 8 out of 10 right now. It's going good, man. As we kind of said off there, I'm living the dream. Thank you so much for having me on.
Truly appreciate you coming on, Jack. So listen, we're living the dream, and of course, wrestling is our passion, and we love talking about it, but I cannot, you know, start out with anything, and I don't want to be down here, because I don't want to bring this interview down, but, you know, this week you're going to find out
Don't talk, Jeff.
Exactly, right? So we're going to find out if, you know, WrestleMania will go on, and we're all wrestling fans. This is something new to us here, and, you know, Vince McMahon can defeat God, he can probably defeat Mother Nature, but he can't, might not be able to beat a virus. Just your thoughts on what would happen if there's no WrestleMania this year, man.
It's crazy that this is coming up, because as this whole thing started, I was very much like, no way, no way it's going to get canceled. No way they're going to move it. But as public outcry continues to grow and concern continues to grow, I don't know. I mean, they might find themselves looking kind of like in a bad light if they continue with it. But there's still a few weeks left, and I don't know. I'm not a disease expert. I don't know what to expect from this whole thing, but I mean, for all we know, in 2 weeks it'll go away and we'll be on to the next thing. But it's got to be a very scary situation for the people at the WWE, because this is their Super Bowl. And so I think if they cancel it, it would take a lot for them to. I would still, if I was a betting man, say it's going to happen, but it will be very interesting to see how things play out, for sure.
And not to mention, too, that there's a lot of companies that piggyback off, you know, WrestleMania weekend, and, you know, you have tons of shows. The world will converge. The wrestling world will converge in Tampa that day and that weekend. And I really feel that the only issue here, Jack, is that they say people from all over the world are going to converge into Tampa. So that's got to be a little bit scary, though, if you're a wrestling fan, to try to contemplate if you really do want to end up going to Tampa.
Yeah, I would think that the decision is going to come down to sponsors, really. And if they say, hey, we paid you a bunch of money to put this show on, they're going to do it. I would imagine that they're going to do exactly what their sponsors want. But also, if the sponsors are like, hey, man, we don't want our name tied to something that could spread this terrible disease, that could be the thing that gets them to not do it. Very interesting. Like I said, even a week ago, I thought there's no way it's getting canceled, but it seems more and more likely that something could happen.
Well, you know what? We're all hoping for the best here. I mean, hindsight's going to be 2020 in terms of what happens. We can only take it from a day-to-day, week-to-week basis as we closely approach WrestleMania in Tampa Bay, Florida. But something I want to ask you, Jack. I mean, you're no stranger to this. You can definitely tell from what we've seen and how passionate and how energetic you are when you talk about pro wrestling and breaking things down as you do from a journalistic standpoint. But when you really look at the atmosphere for people who've never been to WrestleMania, and I used to be one of those people, but you know, since WrestleMania 29, Jeff and I have gone to every single WrestleMania, have covered it, have tried our best to do it. There's just something pretty special when you look at it from a perspective from the outside looking in. For you, what's the best description you can give of the atmosphere like for WrestleMania week, let alone weekend, when you're there in the midst of all the stuff that's going on?
Yeah, I hate to be cliche, but I love the phrase, the showcase of the immortals, because everything about WrestleMania feels bigger, but also it feels historic, you know. And like, I grew up, as I'm sure most of you guys and most listeners have grown up as wrestling fans, and things that happen at WrestleMania are things that we reference forever. We still talk about the big matchups that have happened and the big things we've seen. I mean, Hulk Hogan slamming Andre the Giant is still referenced to this day with how big of a moment that was. And so what's really special to me about it is the things you see are the things that we could be telling our kids about someday and comparing, you know, whoever the Brock Lesnar of 20 years from now is, we may be comparing in the future and talking about the match with Drew McIntyre and how this was when Drew McIntyre took off, or, you know, how this was the day Shayna Baszler became the biggest star in the women's division. It's just historic. And that's, as a wrestling fan, I love it, because, like I said, these are the things that we're talking about forever.
We're talking with Jack Farmer, AfterBuzz TV host for the Dynamite After Show and Raw Panels. Follow him on Twitter at RealJackFarmer, and, of course, go on his website, jackfarmer.com. Jack, what storyline to you do you find the most intriguing? We've got Brock and Drew, we've got Shayna and Becky, Undertaker AJ Styles, but to me, the one that stands out and a lot of people think should be the main event is Randy Orton versus Edge. What storyline, what are you looking forward to the most? What match?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. I think Randy Orton versus Edge, and I think one of the reasons it stands out is I mean, obviously, Randy Orton is a legend. To me, he's kind of on that cusp of maybe top 10 all time, personally. Edge is someone who's amazing as well, but especially in this WrestleMania, a lot of the matches feel very mathematical, I would say, meaning Drew won a number one contender match, he's facing the champion. Shayna Baszler won a number one contender match, she's facing the champion. Charlotte Flair won a number one contenders match, she's facing the champion. AJ Styles has a little bit more to it, but it's kind of the same, like, hey, I'm challenging you, we're going to have a match. The Fiend, I'm challenging you, we're going to have a match. But this one is personal. This one feels like there's a lot of emotional energy behind it. And I think that's why a lot of people are getting so caught up in it right now. It's really kind of stealing the show every week, in my opinion. And especially they're bringing history into it. They're bringing in the Matt Hardys. They're bringing in the Beth Phoenixes. They're bringing in even the MVPs. And to me, I think if you're going by the match that everyone is most interested in, this is the main event. I'm an old stickler for, I feel like the title should be the main event no matter what, but it's definitely the one I'm most interested in. It's easily Randy Orton and Edge, and it's not close for me.
You know what, Jack, when we get to situations like WrestleMania and we get a fast approaching, when the card starts getting built up and we start kind of second-guessing that, you know, we can see certain matches develop themselves in the forefront of, okay, this is going to be a match most likely during WrestleMania season, which I kind of talk about, it starts at the Royal Rumble. You know, a lot of it's known for its nostalgia and for people coming back and how the cliche thing now where people say your WrestleMania moment. Do you think this card right now, currently, that we're looking at right now, has that even balance of new things that we haven't seen yet or new matches we haven't seen yet to the, you know, the staples there where you have Undertaker, you have Goldberg defending the Universal title against Roman Reigns? Have they kept that balance well enough for you to be like, okay, well, it's not all about bringing back the old-timers or the part-timers to kind of fill this card?
No, I think now I'm looking forward to the card, but I definitely think it's more the old guard versus the new guard in this case. Almost every match is someone from the past facing someone from the future or for the future, except for really Baszler, Becky. They're all, you know, Rhea Ripley is the new kid on the block, and Flair, I wouldn't say she's like the past, but she's been around for a while. Obviously, Goldberg, Reigns. Is past and present, and the Fiend versus Cena's past and present. I don't know if there's really a lot of present versus present that's really getting a lot of traction for this show, but I'm okay with that. Personally, I'm one of those guys, I know some people may not like this, but I love seeing The Undertaker come back. I love seeing Goldberg come back because I was a fan of them when I was younger, and so I still like to see them. They're still heroes to me. So I'm okay with it, but I definitely feel like they're leaning very heavy into that. These are the guys of the past. These are the legends. Let's see how they stack up against the stars of today.
You know, you cover a lot of Raw, you know, on your shows.
Mm-hmm.
Austin coming back, 316 day on Monday Night Raw. Just your thoughts on maybe the last few months of Monday Night Raw. What's one thing you like about it and one thing that you still have an issue with?
I'm super excited to see Stone Cold. I mean, who that watched wrestling throughout the Attitude Era isn't excited to see Stone Cold? I'm hoping he hits someone with a stunner. I'm realizing, though, I don't think I've ever seen him look weak at any moment since he's really retired. He's always sort of come in and looked strong. It'll be interesting to see if someone tries to take him out in any way or if he just has a promo. But very excited about Stone Cold. I would say the thing that I've liked is that we've gotten a lot of smaller people that are a bit more high-flying, a bit faster moving, especially in that U.S. title picture where you've got Andrade, you've got Mysterio, you've got Angel Garza, you've got Humberto Carrillo. Those guys are all so fun to watch, and it's interesting because I think historically a group of people who don't get on the mic quite as often would never get this kind of shine. And it's really cool to see that. I'm also a huge fan of them having Rhea Ripley and Charlotte go at it, because I think Rhea Ripley is going to be the biggest star in women's wrestling within the next few years. As far as the things that I haven't really liked is it does feel like there's been quite a few start stops recently, or at least over the past few months, looking at like Cedric Alexander kind of being around and then suddenly gone. Now Ricochet seems to be the next guy on that list that was featured a lot and now suddenly not a big deal. And even Eric Rowan, who for a while, especially when he was teaming with Daniel Bryan, just seemed completely unstoppable and now suddenly is off the table. That's always frustrating as a fan, because you spend the time investing in the people and then it's like, oh, what was that for? Which then makes you question, well, should I get invested in a Drew McIntyre or other characters? But overall, I think they're doing a great job. I'm a fan of wrestling. I'm pretty easy to please when it comes to wrestling, if I'm honest.
No doubt about that, though, Jack. I mean, when you look at it, you know, there are a lot of start and stops. I mean, let's be honest, as us being wrestling fans, that's nothing new when you're watching WWE programming or you're watching wrestling in general, because there are a lot of things that people try and then immediately feel as if it's not going to work and they immediately want to pull the plug. It's frustrating from a fan standpoint. I can't imagine what it's like from a production or talent standpoint when they have to deal with that during the current moment there. But something that I've wanted to discuss and talk to you about is that you've talked about that, starts and stops, right? Something I started noticing a lot more, especially watching and getting ready for events such as WrestleMania or any pay-per-view in general when there's a big event, is like, okay, what are they building up towards? And what's the reason why I should be invested into it? And then you have those ones that do their thing. I mean, if you look at AEW, for example, and the Cody MJF, I was emotionally interested in that match. It got me hooked. Mm-hmm. When you look at WrestleMania now, Edge and Randy Orton, it's got you emotionally invested because, like you said, it is personal. It's not for a title. It's not for a stipulation, a loser leave town or retire. No, it's personal. It's between two guys who've had history, and now there's this big betrayal between the two of them, and obviously the excitement to see Edge come back. In your mind right now, when you're looking at WrestleMania and the card, what's the one thing that you look at in terms of what they're building up and they just kind of miss the ball on that? In my honest opinion, it's been The Fiend and John Cena, because when you look at how it all ended up, it could have been done way better. I understand hindsight's 2020, but when you look at the outcome of what happened at Saudi Arabia and how he got dominated by Goldberg and now he goes points at a sign, and then all of a sudden we have The Fiend and John Cena. It just kind of seems to lose its excitement to me. It doesn't really have that momentum if they're trying to use a storyline of The Fiend trying to overcome the adversity he dealt with at WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, it's definitely something that, again, like I said, I like seeing the old guys come back or the people who haven't been around come back, and I like these kind of matches, but I would say the missed opportunity is they haven't done much to make me care about the outcome. And to your point with The Fiend versus John Cena, I think that's cool, and I think it'd be cool to see The Fiend put down someone like John Cena, and that would really give The Fiend a lot to work with. At the end of the day, I don't think anyone expects John Cena to be around after WrestleMania, so there's not really much for The Fiend to do with that or after that. And so whenever you beat someone that's just going to disappear, it feels like the stakes are a little bit lower. Mm-hmm. I think that's why when we hear someone like, you know, like in AEW, Jericho teased leaving for 2 months. And it was kind of like, oh, well, I guess we know how that match is going to end. Doesn't matter. Of course, he was just kind of trolling us fans. But when you know that John Cena is probably not going to be around, the match itself doesn't feel as important. And it feels more like an exhibition. And that goes with all the people who come, like same with the Goldberg, Roman Reigns. The thing that hurts that for me is I don't have any expectation of Goldberg to be around after WrestleMania, which makes the match itself not feel as important. And that's where the stakes come in. As a guy like Edge, I don't think he's going to be around every week per se, but I don't think he's going to be one and done with WrestleMania either. So that's where the stakes and the emotions start to build is, this isn't something that's just going to go away. It's not like Edge is going to disappear. He's probably going to do more matches. And that's using these guys. I think you can't just say Goldberg's a star, that's the match. I think you need to give us a reason to want Roman Reigns to beat Goldberg or to want Goldberg to win. But right now, it's just the star power. And for WrestleMania, I think you need more than just saying this guy's a star. You need to make me really invested into who comes out ahead.
I think the proper word that you guys are using is invested.
And I think recently there's just been too much predictability. I know as a fan, one of the things that I love is, ooh, you know, was that supposed to happen? Oh, you know, who's going to win this match? Because I'm really torn. I mean, you could see it one way. I can see it this way. And you look at Elimination Chamber, you knew Shayna Baszler was going to win. You knew that, mm-hmm. you know that heading into WrestleMania that Roman Reigns is going to get that title from Goldberg. You know, they did that psychology where everyone's going to pull for Roman Reigns against Goldberg, who beat The Fiend. That's what they're working on. You know, you kind of see the passing of the torch where Brock's going to do everything he can to make Drew McIntyre that next guy. So I think what's missing is that unpredictability, because that's what also gets us, you know, talking when we head into WrestleMania, when we're tailgating. All that stuff can't happen. So I think that's missing a little bit. And I think one thing that the show that you cover, Jack, AEW Dynamite, mm-hmm. I think they do such a tremendous job that ever since they premiered, I've had no reason to click on NXT. Now, I'll watch it afterwards because it's what I do, mm-hmm. and I love NXT. I love the wrestling. I love Adam Cole. I love but I think AEW has done a tremendous job where it keeps it unpredictable, and I just think that, you know, Cody does a tremendous job. Everyone does a tremendous job with that. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree completely. If I'm honest, when I started with AEW, I thought the long-form storytelling, I was a little worried. I thought maybe things are going to take too long to come to fruition. And, you know, the ADD wrestling fan in me that's used to kind of the quicker turnaround of pay-per-views and things at a WWE may have gotten bored. But now that things have gotten going, I think the biggest thing that AEW does really, really right is they make sure that what they do matters. And so things like creating stipulations like Cody can't go for the world title again has played a part in how things have played out. And every time they do something, they don't just do it and then forget that it happened, but they build on it, and it's for a reason. And when they make a mistake or they do something that they don't feel is working, they're pretty good about moving on from it and not holding on to it longer than they need to. I think, look at things like the Nightmare Collective wasn't getting great reviews. And so they tried it. I think they gave it their best shot. And then they said, you know what, maybe it's time to just move on from that. And they're doing that instead of forcing it through. And I think they do a really good job of balancing that. But really, as a viewer and as a fan, what I really appreciate about AEW is I feel like they don't waste your time. And they don't just put something on to fill time. They put things on for a reason so that it validates watching each episode.
Yeah, Jack, it's something I've always been interested in terms of not only speaking to the talent standpoint of it, but also individuals like yourself who do such a great job of breaking things down and then talking about it in, you know, in my opinion, an intellectual way, because it's very easy nowadays for people to be complainers about things, and I think you know what I'm talking about, where like they're just not happy mm-hmm. with what's going on, and the easiest thing is to say, this stinks, this is bad, and not really come up with an idea of, well, what would you do to improve it and make it better? So from the standpoint, when you watched it as a kid growing up, as much as Jeff and I did too, and enjoyed the eras of wrestling that we were very privileged to see. Can you still mm-hmm. see it from a fan's perspective? Or are you kind of now like you have to break it down the way it is because that's just what you're used to? Are you able to allow yourself to be surprised or to enjoy it for the show's sake?
I do everything I can to try to watch it as a fan and then later look at it as, I guess, a pundit or whatever you want to call us. But I always try to watch it from a fan. I'd actually try to do the best I can to avoid whatever spoilers going into it. I mean, there's always going to be that little bit of you that is analyzing it so you can talk about it later. And I'm sure you guys are the same way. When you watch a show, it sometimes is a little bit harder to say just as a fan, I'm just going to watch it. But I try to go out of my way to watch it as a fan. I try to look for the things that are positive, frankly. I think it's easy to get caught up in, as you had mentioned earlier, the hindsight 2020 and saying, oh, well, if, you know, Jericho did this little thing differently, it would have been better. And instead, I just say, what did I love about this? And you find that there's actually a lot of really good stuff in wrestling if you don't allow yourself to get bogged down with the minutia of things that maybe aren't that important. I look back to the moment where the Dark Order was attacking the Elite, and there was the guy that was missing Dustin Rhodes punching him. You know, there was a viral little video of him punching and missing Dustin Rhodes' head, and everyone got up in arms about how terrible that is, and it's the worst thing ever. And in my mind, I'm like, who, that wasn't the point. The point was the story that was unfolding. Forget that. That was just a little thing. Let's look at the cool stuff that happened and how AEW turned this group, the Dark Order, that was kind of a joke, into this thing that's fascinating, and everyone's buzzing about who the Exalted One is, and it's growing, and where's it going. And I think if you don't let yourself get tripped up on these little things and trying to find the hot takes, that you end up enjoying the show and seeing things that are a lot more entertaining and a lot more fun, and frankly, just makes the whole process better.
Yeah, that's a great point. At first, I did not give a flying you-know-what about the Dark Order, but now I really am like curious. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Matt Hardy? Is it going to be, you know, who is going to be the leader? And I think they've done a great job. Like,
well, it's Vince McMahon, isn't it?
Oh, it was me all along, right? But, oh, son of a bitch. but yeah, they've done a great job. Right. Nightmare Collective, oh my God. You know, we were like, oh man, where's this going? Luther and what's Brandy doing? And then what happened? They got the message. They wanted to try something new. They listened to the fans, and, you know, that was gone. So, I mean, they've done a great job listening to their audience. And I got to say one thing, guys. I'm not really here to put over Wrestling Observer, but I got to admit they got it right. Chris Jericho is the man. Chris Jericho has a tremendous 2019. He was our Male Wrestler of the Year, Jack, and for him to get the credit now, tremendous. What can you say about the guy? I mean, he just changes with the times. He's awesome. Just your thoughts on Chris Jericho's run here in AEW so far.
You know, when he first was going for the title, I was thinking, oh, great, we're going to have some, yeah, like a lot of people, I was worried there was going to be this older guy being the champion just because he was famous outside of AEW. But yeah, I agree. He had such a good year, and not just because he was champion, and not just because he was cutting some of the best promos of the year or having some of the best segments of the year. The Dippin' Dot segment is still one of my favorite segments in wrestling for as far back as I can remember. I loved it. But every single person he interacted with looked better after interacting with him. Jungle Boy looks like a star of the future because he had a two-week feud with Jericho. Scorpio Sky came off looking like a world title contender.
Look at Darby, huh? Darby Allin?
Darby Allin. Everyone's talking about how he's the future of the company after a short run with Jericho. And so those are the things that, you know, again, going back to like the Attitude Era, and you look at WCW, and I was a WCW fan, but everyone thought, oh, Hogan's holding down people, or the old guys are holding down people. Jericho being the champion made every single person look better. And that's why I think he's the Wrestler of the Year. Every single person he interacted with, without exception, came off looking like they belonged in the ring with a world champion after he worked with them. So he's exactly what you would want in that role. And I don't even know. I hear he does a lot of things contributing backstage. I can't even speak to that. I can only speak what happens in the ring. And he makes everyone a star. I've been a fan of Jericho my whole life. And I said this on the Revolution post show, but his match with Moxley was so good. Even though I'm a fan of Jericho, I started becoming a fan again. And I was like, yeah, Moxley, you got this, buddy. You know, and I'm like cheering for him, even though I'm a fan of Jericho, because they worked that whole thing so well. Hands down, Wrestler of the Year.
Oh, well, you know, Jeff, you're not going to get Jericho. I'm not going to argue with Jack. That's why he is a man who's wise beyond his years that he is making that point right now. Can't dissect anything wrong with that statement, Jack. Definitely correct, 100% there. But one more thing I want to kind of ask you before I start wrapping this stuff up, too, is that, you know, this special season, which we call WrestleMania season as we lead into Tampa Bay, Florida, it seems like a huge gathering of fans and just gathering of moments, because it's kind of like Christmas. It comes once a year and you're excited for it. When it's over, you're a little depressed because it starts all over again, the waiting period for it. But when you look at the landscape of wrestling now, from like how we used to cover to look at it 5 years ago till now, I mean, I just go back to watch. You know, Jeff and I watched, here's a free plug for the network, the whole Ruthless Aggression episodes out there. You know, you had the Attitude Era, then the Ruthless Aggression era, and just a lot of the big things and the historical factors that happened in pro wrestling around that time about competition, right? Now you look at this, 5 years ago, you didn't have AEW. You had other promotions like Ring of Honor. You had TNA at that time. Now it's called Impact. You had New Japan. It just seems nowadays, especially with the outreach of social media and technology the way it is, there's just a huge way now of broadcasting and kind of streaming that content out there that has us wrestling fans every day now watching pro wrestling, believe it or not. Do you feel there's a sense that, is there competition? I mean, people want to talk about AEW versus WWE, but do you think there should be a necessary competition amongst against companies, or should it be more that these companies like AEW, what Ring of Honor is doing, what New Japan Pro Wrestling is trying to do as they try to convert themselves over to the States and become more popular, promotions like this, do you feel more they should just focus on being themselves and not necessarily worrying about being the next WWE or slash WCW?
Yes, I do agree. First off, I love that there's so much wrestling available now. So much of it is so good as well. The fact that we have, you can watch in 1 week something like Raw, and then something like AEW, and then something like NWA Power, and then something like Impact, that all have their own personalities. I think when AEW started, there was a little bit of that. We want to pick a fight with the WWE and we want to take them on. But over the past 3 months, it feels like AEW is 100% its own show and doing its own thing now. And there's so much good wrestling. I personally absolutely love it. And I think it's going to become, it's weird. I think there's going to obviously be competition. I think we can see that. I think you can even see that in the way people perform, like on NXT, the way people perform on Raw, the way people perform everywhere, because now we're in this sort of democratization of streaming channels and things where you don't need to have TNT necessarily. You don't need to have USA necessarily. You can go to YouTube and put a show out for the entire world to see. And if you're a wrestler, you don't need to do everything just to get to one place. And that gives, I think, a lot of people hope and a lot of people the fire to really do things to be themselves and to stand out. And it's just absolutely amazing. This is, again, growing up, and I've mentioned the Attitude Era a few times, the Monday Night Wars a few times. This right now, I think, is a better time than then, because I think the athletes are better. I think the production is better. I think the fact that you can go to MLW, you can go to Impact, you can go to all sorts of different places and still have, you can even be international now. Obviously, it's easier to go to like Japan and Mexico. It's just so cool to see so much opportunity, and now not needing a USA or a TNT or necessarily, I don't think there's the we have to win or we go out of business mentality anymore. It's that we can be ourselves, we can have our own fans, and we can do what we want, and it's just fantastic. I love it. This is the best time to be a wrestling fan, bar none.
Not only for the wrestlers, Jack, but also for, you know, guys like us that want to cover it and do a show and talk about wrestling, and you, that you get to have like a dream job and go to AfterBuzz TV and talk about AEW and WWE and all aspects of wrestling if you choose to. What's the atmosphere like in AfterBuzz when you after a show, after Revolution, after a Dynamite or a Raw? What's the emotion like that you get to do your dream job there for them?
Oh, it's always fun. I'm very fortunate in that I get to work with a lot of really, really cool people that are all fun and enjoy what we get to do. Certain shows, like after Revolution, I mean, we were still buzzing after that show. We could have done another 2 hours talking about Revolution. We had such a good time. Revolution, by the way, is still one of my favorite shows I can remember seeing in a long, long time. It was so fantastic. There are some days where, of course, sometimes there are shows where it's like a little bit of a drag, especially the longer shows. But getting to work with people who are passionate about this and love what we get to do and feel just fortunate to get to do it, we're always high-fiving at the end. And usually we'll hang out afterwards for about an hour or so, just chatting about whatever, whether it be wrestling or just, you know, personal life or whatever, however it goes. But yeah, I get to work with some of the best people. Flobo, who's the main host for the Raw show, is one of my best friends, so getting to work with him is always great. And Jim, who's our our heel, I guess we call him. He's the more controversial one.
I can't stand him. Oh, I'm sorry.
You can't stand him?
Yeah, I was getting a little emotional there. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. He's the heel guy. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Always stirring the pot.
Always stirring the pot. Yeah, he's great. He's actually, I'm gonna blow his cover. He's actually one of the nicest, best people you could ever meet.
Do that, Jack. You're breaking kayfabe. What are you doing, man? You're telling me he's a good guy?
I'm gonna ruin his character. I mean, that is how he is in real life, but he cares about people at the same time. So he'll give you a hard time, but he cares about people, and he's a good dude for sure. But yeah, TK is great, and on the AEW side, it's cool getting to work with someone like Jessica because she actually never watched any wrestling until the first episode of Dynamite. But she's a great host, and she does a lot of sports coverage, and so getting to watch her kind of fall in love with wrestling and like start to pick it up and understand it and get really into it has been so fun to get to watch with her as well.
You know, it's one for Jeff and I to watch too. Is that something you've implemented, and as well as everybody there, part of the show too? You just kind of said it too. There just seems to be a lot of different dynamics and perspectives there, and you guys all collectively are able to work it and discuss it as a group. I mean, we talk to wrestling fans, and you have good chemistry, but you know, you have also wrestling fans that just screaming and yelling, "No, you're wrong! You're wrong! No, I'm right!" You guys collectively talk about it to a dynamic and a demographic that kind of understands it. For the ones that don't see it from time to time, who have never seen it, and the ones like yourself who are very die hardcore fans, so great job in terms of doing that show, man.
Oh, well, thank you. I think one of the things that's great about pro wrestling is I would say you can't really be wrong. Me and George Hermosa, who hosts a lot of the WWE pay-per-views, we're talking about the best of all time. You know, who's the best of all time? And he was like, Shawn Michaels. And I was like, Ric Flair. And we were saying our reasons why. But at the end of the day, we're both right. Who cares? It's just fun to argue about. And you can argue about it, but then say, whatever, you're allowed to like whoever you like or not like whoever you like. And that's what makes it fun. So I never think anyone's wrong or right with wrestling. It's just fun. Who do you like? Who do you not like? And why? And then just go from there, you know?
Oh, like the Mount Rushmore of wrestling. I'm like, God,
the classic question.
I'm like, damn it, dude, you're not wrong. You know what I mean? Like, you can have your four, and I can have my four. That question to me, it just bugs me because no one's wrong, and you're arguing for like an hour trying to take your point of view. Where you know what? I can see your point of view. You know what I mean? And that question, Jack, is to me one of the questions that triggers me because I'm like, you can't be wrong. You can't be wrong on that.
Plus, you can't limit it to four either.
Yeah.
Right, well, who are your Mount Rushmore?
Oh man, see, everyone has their different style. They'll go by who sold the most, you know, who had the most box office. You know, everyone's gonna say Dusty has to be there because of the promos. To me, there's no wrong answer. To me, Nature Boy has to be on there, and then people are like, well, Bruno. Yeah. I didn't see Bruno wrestle, but he's got to be up. So it depends on every. Nobody's wrong.
What's your Mount Rushmore though?
Austin, Hogan. I want to put Flair in there, and then the fourth one I would say Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I could be wrong. I'm not wrong. So you could say Dusty. You can say Rick. You can say
Brett. It's okay, Jeff. It's okay.
No, but I'm just saying.
How fired up he's getting there, Jack.
It's great. It's funny because like as we started this, I was like, well, I definitely have my four, and then as you're naming these names, like, oh wait, I forgot.
Exactly. And you're limited to four people, Jack, so that makes it really tough.
Let me just buy some more land on that Mount Rushmore. Let me add a couple more. You know what I mean? Like, because it should be in categories. It should be like on your promo who should be on there, Dusty, Piper.
Well,
you know,
it goes back to the same thing. Oh, who's better, Michael Jordan, LeBron James? And when we start depicting eras, that's where it becomes really difficult. Because there are people who didn't watch Michael Jordan play. That's how old I'm feeling now. A lot of people don't know who Michael Jordan is, and they're like, how could you not know who he is? He's the greatest basketball player of all time. But then people say Wilt Chamberlain was one of the best players, and so on and so on. Yeah. So, yeah, no, that debate's hilarious, and that's why, like I said, the dynamic of your show is so cool because there are so many different perspectives, so many levels of knowledge of what pro wrestling is that you guys are able to implement that in an easy flow as opposed to that. You get into a bar, which I'm sure we'll deal with in Tampa if we see you down there, and people are, you know, get a couple drinks down there, and like, you're wrong, Ric Flair's a lot better than Shawn Michaels, what are you talking about? And it gets to that point, but it's nice the fact that we could talk about it like – like civilized human beings.
I know, definitely civilized right. human beings. And Jack, before we end, see, here's the thing. We're talking. It's not really an interview. It's like a conversation, and we talk for hours, but you're a busy guy. You got things to do. Just real quick, talk about just everything else that you do. I mean, you're a DJ. I heard your mixes there on jackfarmer.com. I mean,
he's a man of many hats and many talents.
Exactly. So just talk about, you know, stuff on the side that you do, because, again, that's also as important as your wrestling knowledge and what you do for AfterBuzz.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird, like, I guess, journey, as I guess all of us are on. But it was funny. I started DJing a long time ago just to help pay my way through school. Like, I was like, I need something to pay the bills that I can do around a school schedule. And I found I was actually pretty good at it. And it kind of moved into, like, hosting events and things like that. And then through the hosting is sort of how I got in with AfterBuzz. As I mentioned, Flobo is a friend of mine. He's a DJ as well. That I met Flobo. Flobo was with AfterBuzz, and he brought me in. And then I was always a fan of wrestling, but that's kind of what got me to AfterBuzz. And it's one of those things where if I was to go back in time, I would never have predicted that this was the trajectory of how things would go. But yeah, I do a lot of hosting, live event hosting and DJing and emceeing and that kind of stuff. That's sort of how I fill my weekends. And then it's a lot of the wrestling stuff during the week. I talk a lot. I'm a big talker, apparently. I just like being with people and chatting about things I love. And that's kind of, I'm very fortunate, and that's what I get to do.
Yeah, I mean, and talk about talking. You'll definitely have a lot to talk about next year when WrestleMania goes to L.A. That'll be, like, in your backyard. So that's something probably that you're looking forward to.
Yeah, I can actually see the stadium from my bedroom window. So that'll be it's farther than it looks. But I'm very close. I was going to say I could walk there, but it's a little bit farther of a walk than I'd actually do. But
nobody likes a bragger, Jack. But,
yeah, I know.
You're turning heel now. You're bragging now about how
came in baby face. Came in baby face, and now he's JBLing us now.
Yeah, well, that's what you got to do. You got to turn heel right before the end. I'm super excited for it to be here. I'm already hoping that I'm already kind of daydreaming about the card that could be. But I've learned never to try to predict.
Brock versus The Rock, and The Rock will be. The Rock will be the Hall of Fame person, the headliner, and Cena will go for, he'll win his 17th World Championship. Book it. It's L.A. It's a done deal. Record this, Jack.
I would love to see that happen live. I'm a Cena fan. I'm with Cena, so I'm okay with that.
I thought I liked you too now, Jack. So I really did like you now. Now you just said that, and you kind of ruined this entire experience.
So you can take that prediction there, Brock versus The Rock, and also Cena will get his 17th world title and break Ric Flair's record because it's L.A. and you guys get all the good stuff. And
for bonus points, does The Rock win the title in Saudi Arabia before?
Man, yeah. Oh, wow.
He would, because you have to build that card, because they built Saudi Arabia as, you know, another version of WrestleMania. So The Rock would have to wrestle there, whether it be 30 seconds or not, and win the title and be the champion going into WrestleMania.
See, this is a great conversation, guys. I mean, we could do the,
WWE, sign us.
This would be like a 3-hour podcast. Jack, listen, man, thank you for all your time. He is Jack Farmer, AfterBuzz TV host, the Dynamite After Show, Rob Panels, does so many things for AfterBuzz. You can follow him on Twitter, @RealJackFarmer, and go to jackfarmer.com and check out those cool mixes he's got there. The DJ
nice,
here.
Nice beats
yeah,
there.
Want some beats, want some good music. Listen to Jack. Jack, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. Keep in touch. Definitely want to do this again sometime down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. And just as a real quick point, as a supplement to the whole Ruthless Aggression era show, I definitely recommend anyone who's listening for the first time, go back and check out your interview with Mark Jindrak. I thought that was great, and a great timing for that one as well.
Oh,
yeah, we still have to wait.
And now he turned face again.
Yeah,
now he turned face. Oh,
and there's still time for Mark Jindrak and Triple H to go at it.
You know, Mark Jindrak was awesome, man. I mean, now I'm going to talk here. I'm hyping myself up here. He was very – he owned it. He owned it, man. He messed up. He didn't blame Triple H. Didn't say, oh, this, that. No, he he took
full responsibility.
Full responsibility, man, and really good guy though. And the guy's he's 42. He can still go, man. People need to book him. I don't know what his what he wants to do. I know Triple H thing that'd have been great for him to fight Triple H, but yeah, he can still go, man. And Jack, I really appreciate you listening to that interview. Appreciate that.
Yeah, of course, absolutely, and. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. This is fun.
All right, man. All right. Let's,
first round's on us in Tampa, buddy.
Let's wash our hands and and just, you know, not touch our faces, and we'll survive this coronavirus together, Jack.
Perfect. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, man. All right, Trendsetter. So many things, man. He turned babyface. He was babyface. Then he was heel. And then he had to turn babyface again. I've never seen a triple turn before in my life.
That's
fast.
What they call a tweener nowadays. You're kind of back
and
forth.
Shades of gray.
Exactly. Shades of gray. There are no more black and white anymore, Jeff. It's just the way it is. It's just the way the business is. But we appreciate him putting us over. Didn't have to. Didn't have to do us the favor. But he did. Listen to that interview we did with Mark Jindrak when we talked about the series Ruthless Aggression that's on the WWE Network. Free plug for you guys there. Great interview, man. And I think, you know, we've been fortunate enough with speaking with individuals like Jack and Chad coming up right now during the show, and then talent among the various platforms we've gone to, whether it be a WrestleCon, whether it be people we've had on the show, live interviews we've done on our YouTube channel. They all show the same thing, their passion and love for professional wrestling.
Yeah, man, and a great interview with Jack. Of course, check out all his stuff on AfterBuzz TV. That's like a great place to work at, too.
It looks like a really fun atmosphere.
Yeah,
I really like this place.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much just turmoil and so much, you know, just unprofessionalism here that you could, you know, that you want to leave. Who wouldn't want to jump ship?
No, who wouldn't?
I know you.
That's why we don't look each other in the eye when we're talking.
But again, though, tremendous interview and trendsetter we've got now coming up. Chad Minnis from Standalone Wrestling.
Good old Chad back
good
on the show.
Good old Chad. We had on before. He will be part of ICW No Holds Barred in Tampa on April the 2nd. And he joins us to talk about just the events going on in WrestleMania. What we're trying to do is every week when we do the show, we're going to try to invite somebody on who's got an event going on in Tampa so they can talk about their event. And if you're wondering, where should I go? What should I do down in Tampa? You know, if you're there for a few days, you know, there's so much wrestling. We're going to give you the shows that you should go and definitely check out. And ICW No Holds Barred is definitely one of them. So Chad Minnis now on the High Spot Podcast talking about No Holds Barred. All right, Trendsetter, so many events in Tampa coming up for WrestleMania weekend. We've got Chad Minnis joining us because he will be part of No Holds Barred April the 2nd from the 81 Bay Brewing Company in Tampa, Florida. Tickets are available on the WrestlingUniverse.com website. Chad, what is going on, my man? How you doing?
Oh, not much, man. Just super busy with the real life, with wrestling, ring rentals. My own promotions, other promotions, so a wild year so far.
We'll get to Standalone and your other promotions shortly, Chad, but you know, we could find out a lot of things this week about, you know, WrestleMania and what's going to happen with all the festivities, but let's pretend everything's good, fingers crossed, and just talk about this event coming up in Orlando, No Holds Barred for ICW.
Yeah, so No Holds Barred, it's a spinoff of ICW based out of New York. The ropes are replaced with chains. This is going to be Volume 3 in Florida on April 2nd. And it's basically no rules. You know, it's you know, more extreme combat in the ring, knockouts, submissions. You know, it's just more of a strong style, you know, more fierce battle in the ring. Some of the best competitors you could think of, they're putting, you know, they're squaring off against each other. You know, Jack and Danny have been doing this project, and you know, it's going to have so much potential, you know, within the next year. And I think the WrestleMania version is going to be the best one yet so far.
And for example, how did you get involved with ICW? Give us a little rundown of how you decided to help out here.
Yeah, so I've been involved in, like, ring rentals and stuff like that and helping other promotions. I stopped running my own shows for a little while, and at the time, GCW kind of filled the gap with for me to, you know, fulfill that desire to still be involved in wrestling. And at that time, it was Danny and Brett who I dealt with and, you know, developed relationships with both of them. And when Danny moved on to ICW, and I, you know, started working with him out there, and you know, just assisting in any areas that needed, you know, not looking for anything in return, but to see, you know, another product develop, see talent develop, and, you know, a new fan base, you know, grow. And ICW went from what it was to a new concept, which is what is going to be going forward, which is the No Holds Barred. And I just want to see, you know, Danny's journey and Jack's journey with this product just really, really grow within the next couple years. And the plans long term are really solid for this. And, you know, a lot of heavy touring that's going to be happening in the future.
All right, that's awesome. And that is going to be, actually, get your tickets on the WrestlingUniverse.com website. Like he said, Thursday, April 2nd, from the 81 Bay Brewing Company, Tampa, Florida. You know, Chad, there's so many, you know, things going on around WrestleMania weekend. What's going to separate No Holds Barred? What's going to make it must-go-to for fans that weekend?
Yeah, I think if you want to see, you know, the hardest hitting, you know, like Japanese strong style, stiff, in-your-face action, very unique setup with, you know, we have platforms in the corners where, you know, you're able to utilize those. And, you know, the chains instead of ropes, you know, it's just a whole different, it's like a Fight Club type of feel. Like, actually, like, you know, like you've seen the movie, you know, No Holds Barred, you know, you've seen it. You know, it's basically, you know, it's a play off of that. So, you know, if you want something different, you know, there's going to be tons of wrestling shows. If you want to see men in tights, you can go see that anywhere. You know, if you want to see some stiff, hard hitting, you know, strong style action, you know, No Holds Barred is definitely going to be the place to be. It's also an intimate venue. So, you know, there isn't an unlimited amount of tickets as well.
Chad, talk to me real quick about the excitement that goes on when it comes to events like WrestleMania weekend. It really seems like how Jeff mentioned before, and you're talking about before, there are a lot of shows that go on, a lot of shows that try to distinguish themselves and separate themselves from the crowd, from the pack. But just talk about the all-around atmosphere, what's like for people who don't know, they're listening right now, who are looking forward to going to the event that you guys are promoting. What's it like in terms of the atmosphere for WrestleMania weekend?
Yeah, I think just WrestleMania week is just like, you know, it's just like the culmination of, you know, everything good about pro wrestling. You know, you get your mixture of everything that you're looking for. As a wrestling fan, any type of show that you want to see, any type of matches that you want to see, from comedy to action to violence to, you know, anything, stand-up comedy segments and stuff like that, it's going to happen WrestleMania week. And, you know, it's the largest gathering of people from all around the country, all around the world, coming to, you know, Tampa for this event. So just networking with fans and learning what other people like. And I think it's just the most exciting week there is for wrestling.
And you just mentioned the convergence of fans from around the world. And unfortunately, you know, you guys can't beat, you know, the bookings, the promoters, and you certainly definitely can't beat a coronavirus. What are your, any fallback plans? Are you just waiting what the latest news are? Like, what exactly are your plans if, you know, this event is canceled?
Yeah, so I know speaking for other promoters is going to cause quite a mess. Tons of money has been invested in time and getting the stories and the talents together and stuff like that. So a postponement or cancellation would be quite devastating to some. Some promoters take a big, big risk coming down here. Like, you know, they're not at that level yet to even be coming down and traveling the world. And they're taking that chance to take their product to the next level. And they're really, something like this could put everything at risk for them. So fingers crossed that this works out and, you know, we can figure out how to make this successful and keep people safe. And hopefully this, you know, goes away really quick.
Yeah, because Trendsetter is a celebration. That weekend is supposed to be a celebration, but you know, recently we've been like on our toes about coronavirus and you know, a lot of events being canceled. So we cross our fingers for the wrestling fan and just, you know, that we all have a safe weekend there. But Chad, again though, any precautions specifically by ICW, and just what would happen if they cancel it? Any measures taken yet so far, or you guys are just waiting to get official word?
Yeah, right now, just wait and see. You know, of course, WWE is the lead here, and I don't think WWE would ever cancel. So I guess it's more up to the Tampa politicians and the government there to really push this the way it's going to go. So it's in the wrestling God's hands, I would say.
Any concern from the talent themselves that are going to be part of this event? Have they shown you or any of the promotion a concern of things like this that's going to happen down the road, depending on what the decision ultimately is?
Yeah, not at all. As far as talent for me, you know, it's been bookings going forward. Let's fill dates, and everybody's still trying to be very aggressive with filling their calendars. So as far as the talent, I haven't heard any concerns at all. And they just want to keep it going. I have heard, you know, stories about empty arenas, and in that area, I have heard talent say, you know, we do this for the fans, and you know, we don't want to perform in empty audiences and empty crowds, and you know, that's part of the show and part of the feel for them. It's like a comedian going out and, you know, telling jokes to an empty crowd. You know, you work off the fans and you feed off the fans, so. For the empty arena stuff, that would be quite disappointing.
All right, so again, ICW No Holds Barred Volume 3 in Tampa, April the 2nd. Looking forward to that. Hopefully, you know, it's part of a tremendous weekend for WrestleMania down there in Tampa, the start of April. Chad, talk about standalone wrestling. I mean, you said you've taken some time off, but you've got a good following, a great following with Standalone Wrestling, and you guys are back with The Lines We Cross on March 21st. Talk about that event.
Yeah, so this event came up. Old school promoter, Supernova's brother, Donnie B, old school 80s Donnie B, came with a show for the Lacey Rotary Club. And so it's a fundraiser show, and I wasn't looking to do another show yet. And he pitched it to me in a fundraiser and good for the community. And that's the town where I'm from. So just everything lined up, and we have a huge, huge show already. We've pre-sold over 200 tickets. Mark Henry is the headline guest for us. And, it's kind of special when I run a show. So, it doesn't happen too often, so there's some excitement, and working with Donnie B, and, we have an excellent card, too. A lot of championships on the line. Sean Donovan is our new standalone wrestling champion, and he's going to be taking on Big F and Joe, who's coming from Europe for us and ICW the next night, because we have a doubleheader weekend that weekend as well. The BWO, which has never wrestled together in Ocean County. So that's pretty exciting as well. And we're doing a lot of work promotions. We have LTW who's going to open up the show with a feature match.
One final one for me is you've got great card. Mark Henry will be there. You've worked with a lot of wrestlers, and most recently you worked with Killer Cross, and of course he's WWE bound, and just your thoughts on Killer Cross and what it was like with his time in standalone with you guys.
Yeah. So, first time meeting Killer Cross was at, Bloodsport. Picked him up at the airport in Philadelphia. So we were able to spend some time on the road together and talk a lot. And we talked business and stuff like that, talked about things and impact and issues there, and, going forward, doing business, and, bring him into standalone, super professional. Knew him being champion would be, a great asset to the company. Knew going forward he'd be signed somewhere else. And weird story, the very last thing that – he said to me, he was at MLW, and he saw me, and he came up to me, And I went to go shake his hand, and he gave me a fist bump, and he said, coronavirus. So those were the very last words Killer Cross said to me.
Wow, what a prophet. That's crazy. That's wow. Yeah.
He foresaw the future, Jeff.
Yeah, yeah. And but listen, Chad, regardless of anything that goes on, man, with you in the wrestling business, the wrestling business is better for it. And so, you know, lastly here, you want to come on and just promote a couple things that you got going on. Of course, you've got Standalone on March 21st. You've got ICW No Holds Barred for WrestleMania weekend. So just get all your info out there.
Yeah, so standalonewrestling.com for any of my stuff. WrestlingUniverse.com for ICW. Titan Championship Wrestling is one of the promotions that I work with a lot, so give them some support. They have their first show, Goddesses of War, coming up March 27th. March 28th, Rise of the Titans. They're both in Bayville, New Jersey. We'll have a show May 16th at the Jersey Shore Fest in Seaside. October, we'll be announcing our plans for Electric Halloween, which is a music festival where we have our pro wrestling shows, and really going to switch it up this year. And June 27th is going to be a huge show in Atlantic City. It's ICW Deathmatch Circus. It's going to be outside on a piece of land that one of my clients has, and that is going to be you know, a huge summer extravaganza. So just check all those things out.
He is Chad Minnis, one of the best promoters out there. Chad, thank you for coming on the show. Hope to see you down in Tampa. Maybe get a beer together. But listen, man, thanks again. Keep safe, stay healthy. And, you know, let's hope we have a tremendous weekend for WrestleMania weekend down there in Tampa.
Yeah, can't wait to see you guys.
All right, Chad. Thanks, man.
Don't forget to wash your hands.
Come on.
All right, trendsetter. And good old Chad, man. I mean, where does he find the time to do these interviews? But a very busy guy. And, you know, trendsetter, hopefully for all these businesses, all these promotions down there, hopefully we get to go down there and have a great time. Not just, you know, personally because I want to go have a nice trip to Tampa, but because these guys really bust their ass and work hard, and they should be rewarded by putting on great shows like this.
Well, it's like we talked about before with Jack and Chad. It's just the atmosphere around there. I mean, granted, you know, we're going down there representing the crew, but at the same time, as much as it's work-related and we're trying to do our best for coverage and content so you guys can enjoy it so you could feel like you're a part of it with us, a lot of it's also to do with the fact that we can't forget that it's also an enjoyment time. It's not necessarily a vacation, but it's also to enjoy the fact of being around that atmosphere. And I kid you not, guys, if you've never been around a WrestleMania weekend or week per se, not necessarily attending the show, but just being around that atmosphere, it is definitely something that's indescribable. Words cannot put into, cannot put justice to it. You know, it's just a great time to be around all that stuff because there's so much stuff going on that it's a great time and a great period to be. If you've never been during WrestleMania week, I would highly suggest doing it. Maybe not this year because everybody's worried about the coronavirus, but it's definitely something to attend. And everybody's showing their excitement. They're showing their worriedness too about what could possibly happen. But right now, I think there's still excitement in the air because we're getting closer each week that goes by. We're closer and closer to as they say, the showcase of the immortals.
So definitely check out ICW No Holds Barred Volume 3. It's Thursday, April 2nd from the 81 Bay Brewing Company in Tampa, Florida. For tickets, go to thewrestlinguniverse.com. Give them a shot. Check them out, man. They're doing great things. And also, Standalone Wrestling presents The Lines We Cross with special appearance by WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry, March 21st, coming from Lacey Township High School. Tickets are available by going to eventbrite.com/standalonewrestling. So definitely so much wrestling going on, trendsetter. Again, we pray that, you know, that the festivities for WrestleMania will go on. And we can put this virus behind us, but, you know, we're not doctors. We're not, you know, we don't play them on TV either. So hopefully, you know, WrestleMania isn't canceled. And trendsetter, there's still so much wrestling to go on to this weekend. Ring of Honor will present 18th anniversary in Vegas on Friday night, and Ring of Honor Pastors present on Saturday night from Sam's Town in Las Vegas. So Ring of Honor doing great things once again with Marty Scurll at the helm, trendsetter. And we want to thank Jack Farmer. We want to thank Chad Minnis for being on the show today. And again, guys, love doing this. We're on the road to WrestleMania. We're in that car. Nothing's going to stop us. Maybe coronavirus, probably. But, you know, what can you do? But again,
Man, just looking forward to if WrestleMania does happen this year.
Yeah, we're slowly approaching it, guys. And you guys have been listening to another episode of the High Spot Podcast along with my tag team partner, Jeff Martin. I am the trendsetter, Brian Berger. Make sure you follow us on all our social media platforms as well as our site, highspotpodcast.com. Check out bodyslam.net for the latest news and up-to-date news of professional wrestling as well. Check out our YouTube channel. Just type in the word High Spot Podcast. Check all the stuff we've done in terms of interviews, guests we've had on the show, conventions we've attended, independent promotions we've attended. Also, you can check out my series there, Avengers with the Trendsetter 2. And you can also get Jeff's XFL pod show on there as well.
And don't forget, if we make it to Tampa, the Bullet Club Beach Party, April the 4th, we'll be there doing live interviews and just having some fun there with the Bullet Club. So definitely check out the High Spot Podcast at the Bullet Club Beach Party.
Not just fun with the Bullet Club, but fun with you guys. Because remember, we do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you, the crew.
Wash your hands, everybody. Wash your hands.